This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bon for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation.
Excuse me for my interruption, but he come and look with reminder to say, this coming Friday, and a police gonna roll the lawn. You went to the man number one town round town, and it's a Friday evening, boom! The people them tired of working, fana fana, Lord them hear the disco playing, boom! It make them feel like dancing, ain't no summer set. Britain will be greater with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 feeter. And this is DJ Talk Sweeter. See on the filter up with the echo chamber. Watch your man, play the play. I demon tear up the game. Them off is tipping with them cassette and I'm saying, oh Lord, play 45, let's keep them alive. Play this coming, see my feet jumping. Oh, I'ma play LP.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. Beautiful day, grateful to be in your company. It is a Friday. Bam, warm and easy selector, so happy to be in your company, guys. I hope you're having a good day. I am grateful to be in the land of the living. I hope that you are. Last night, two persons snuffed away again. Talk to me. This is bananas. We've seen the deputy for the Free National Movement take on a kind of position to talk about those things. It's crazy how this is getting to proximity of leadership, proximity up to the sort of the quote-unquote upper echelon of society. We got to do something about this crime. We must do something about this crime. Let's talk about those things, guys. At 1 o'clock, we're going to kind of open up the lines to have a good conversation. I have some special guests in the studio to have good conversations with us today. But before we do that, and decency and in order, I got to shout out my good decent people over at AFS Insurance, agents and brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go check them out. If you're in the market for your SDs, your taxis, your jitneys, your liveries, all those particular things, and your bulk, you want to kind of get your bulk insurance going on, you can do that. In-house financing with my guys down there at AFS Insurance, agents and brokers. Ask for my very good friend, Etheric Bo. He can take good care of you. Down there, 3411 AFS, 3411 AFS, right? 9 to 5 on the week, throughout the week, 9 to 2 on the weekend. So make sure you go and check them out. They got everything laid out for you guys. It's a beautiful day. A little later on, I got to tell you about what you do on the weekend. On the weekend, I don't know how you do it. My babies, they finished their summer school, and my son, he just got a haircut. I don't know. He's 5 years old. He's doing a lot, right? Just got a haircut. He's like, Daddy, I want to go to the movies now. So I don't know what you're doing this weekend. I don't know how you have anything set up, but I always tell you about my good friends over at Coco Pump Bistro. We're going to talk about them a little later on. It's a beautiful environment. Great place to get some nice, refreshing drinks. Good time to be able to break bread with your family and have conversations about where they are. I think you got to be able to start to do those things. It's a great day, guys. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Check out this information. Guardian newspaper. The Prime Minister meets with the UK legal team on the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Davis also attends African Summit. The Eleuthera facing public health crisis due to water and power shortages. This is what Sweeney says. And the BAAA denying Cooper's spot on the Olympic team is unfair. Double murder in Pine Barren Road. And no evidence of bribery at the detention center, despite claims, says the DPP, right? Was that the Director of Public Prosecutions, right? We could be able to do that. Now, guys, I want to be able to have a good conversation with you. I think we've been not necessarily meandering around it or hitting the banks of it. We've been talking specifically and particularly to crime. Even from the inception, from the beginning of the year, we've been talking to crime, more specifically to murder, the injustice that exists in our particular systems, being able to find a way, a buoyant way out, and finding that strength that exists within our communities. Not necessarily relentlessly leaning on central government or the government, the officials, to provide us some solution, but identifying that we have the strength within ourselves to identify these things, to execute these things, and to push forward to make some things happen. Since then, I think, was it last year or this year? Beginning of this year that the Men's Mobilization March kicked off. I think it was January, right? Men's Mobilization March was kicked off in January. And we saw some persons come out from a media standpoint, great voices, trusted voices in our society, being able to talk about holding up the banner of righteousness and moving in a particular direction. Today, we want to be able to reiterate that conversation and accompany that with a cultural show. We're going to be able to talk about that. But I want to introduce you to some wonderful men in the studio with me today, being able to carry the banner of the Lord and being able to talk about that with pride, with this tenacity and this determination to push forward. I want to be able to introduce you to none other than Pastor Marion Moxey, pastor of the Bahamas Harvest Church and Pastor Hervis Spain, sitting with me here in the studio today. Gentlemen, say good afternoon to the people out there.
Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Pray you all well and blessed.
Gentlemen, it is absolutely wonderful to be able to have you guys in the studio with me today. Amen. Talk to me about what we're going to be discussing, what's going to be happening as it relates to the Men's Mobilization March, first and foremost. Last night, you saw me started off in my opening. Last night, we've seen two persons get snuffed out, murdered in the street again. And I know from a media standpoint, for the purposes of traditional radio, a lot of persons would like you to curb your words and how you approach these things. But this was murder. This was murder. And this is, in my view, attack on the family, attack on the sovereignty, attack on the strength, attack on the legacy of the Bahamas. Talk to me about what Men's Mobilization's March is all about and what we could be able to expect to see from you guys going forward.
We are really excited about what is happening within the organization itself. At this point, I can tell you about an upcoming activity that we have planned. Last month in June, we had a number of the men who, as a matter of fact, these were the men that led the praise and worship. They had a Father's Day concert in June, and the purpose of that concert was to raise funds for the Simpson Penn School. We just got information that our gift will be accepted by the school, so we're excited about that. And come next month, we'll be able to present to the Simpson Penn equipment for the chapel. Of course, the chapel is used for purposes of services, but it's also used, church services that is, but it's also used as a visitation room. So we want to make sure that the room is equipped to handle the visitation that's coming in, with parents coming in to visit their sons and so forth. So one of the things that we have on our agenda is related to the ability to provide means for men coming out of incarceration, both the Her Majesty Prison and the Simpson Penn Boys Center for Boys, that we're able to provide them with an opportunity to continue their life on a positive road. So we're looking to see how we can make a dent in that area.
Well, I'm interested in it. A lot of persons, for those persons who haven't heard the story, tell me how you got together. Tell me how this kicked off. Pastor Bean, talk to me about how this all came together with different minds and the men being able to come together to say that this is sort of the course that we're going to take now.
Well, Pastor Mario and the Honorable Vaughn Miller had a conversation. That conversation is saying, hey, we have to do something about this crime. And as a result of that, they came together and they assembled, workers, as they actually would say, who will say, hey, let's get this job done. And we formed the Men's Mobilization March. The march itself was basically to be a voice to say, hey, let's make a difference. men all from all over the Bahamas, because it was not just Nassau.
Not just isolated in Nassau.
Exactly. Men from all over the Bahamas. I mean, from Abaco, Freeport, Abaco, Grand Bahama, down to Inagua. You know, everybody marched. And with a sense of solidarity, wearing, you know, a blank white T-shirt to represent the whole purpose of there can be a newness, a freshness. And everybody came together in March. And we had an opportunity to have a service there on the park in Nassau and a prayer visual for those who lost their lives. So it was a group of men made up from various different backgrounds. Pastor Mario, Honorable Von Miller, you had myself and Bishop Valentino Williams. You had Bishop Hewlin Hanna, and you had Franklin Butler. You had also the Honorable Shenandoah Cartwright. The distinguished Jack Thompson. We all came together and we all formed this men's mobilization march. Now, it went from a march and it evolved into a mission. And now it's the men's mobilization mission. And within itself, we are gearing up to make it a whole entity by itself so that it can constantly make an impact. And so therefore, there can be a platform for men to stand on. There is a significant amount of information that we received from men, you know, just basically looking for an outlet. And we utilize that and we see that and we harvest that in the aspect of the men's mobilization mission. We had a live show the other day. I think it's like the 18th of June. We were live, and we had over 2,000 views, and we were able to give out special gifts to the men who participated within the drawing and everything else. And as a result of that, we had a nice conversation, and the rapport and the aspect of the return of individuals was saying, like, listen, man, y'all need to do this more often. This needs to happen. This is a good conversation. So the cry for positive male imagery is needed. And so as we go forward, the men's mobilization mission will be the focus of providing that.
I'd like to know about some of the hurdles that you had. I know that we are ingrained, conditioned in a particular manner in this society without being able to speak to specificity and give specifics to it. We are conditioned as men in this society that though we don't necessarily have a coming of age, sort of a path to take, a lot of our young persons seek to duplicate what they've seen in our society, right? And so I'd like to know, what are some of the hurdles that you had, right? There's sort of an idea where, no man, we don't talk, or no man, I don't know how to get together. What are some of the hurdles, some of the obstacles that you had to kind of jump over to get to this objective? Not just being able to bring leadership together and identify voices, but being able to bring those persons participant and bringing them together to get to move towards the objective?
You know, one of the things we have to be mindful of is everyone that we've mentioned who's part of this team loved this country. Mm-hmm. There weren't that many hurdles. There weren't any hurdles as far as bringing the team together is concerned. Once we came together and we started working and asking people to help, people were willing to assist. It's interesting that there's a void of leadership, and the moment you have leadership that steps up to the plate, people are willing to participate. They're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to give their all, as we've seen with those young men who participated in the speech competition. You know, we had a speech competition for junior high and senior high students, and those young men stepped up to the plate, and they participated. We had the team that did that, and the team that did it comprised of men who are extremely busy, but they took their time to organize, to skillfully organize and prepare and plan and execute. And I'm telling you, it is phenomenal the way that people come together to assist.
That's always an amazing thing.
I'll say this, though. I mean, there was some form of, like, is this going to be true? Is this going to be honest? From the recipients.
Yeah.
Meaning that, yeah, okay, the young man stepped up with the speech competition and knocked it out the park.
Yeah.
Right? And then on top of that now, April 29th was the march. And so there were some doubts. Like, you know, is this political? Is this this? And when they saw it, the positive image, the vibe that individuals got right there in the park. You had different other churches that came together. You have different other organizations that came together that were participating on the march. You had individuals who were freely to just give in-kind gifts. I mean, so the support was, overwhelming.
Was there a question for consistency? I think that that's one of the fears that they have. Like a lot of persons say, man, you're going to start these things, but I just don't see you no more.
Yeah.
After you then take your pictures and things like that.
And, right? And here's some of the reality that we face, right? We knew this going in that we wanted to do something. We figured we just wanted to have this march. We didn't plan to have a sustained program. So we wanted to have this march because we wanted to make a statement that there are men in this country who believe in this country. Of course, in the process of planning and getting traction and having the airs of people, we then realized that, okay, you know, what's the next step? So the entire time, I was praying, everyone else was praying, you know, God, what's going to be the next steps? And those next steps start to evolve for us, and so we're taking this journey. So this isn't something that we sat down and spent a couple of years planning. This is something that was spur of the moment. We wanted to respond. We responded, and now there's a vacuum. There's a need for us to continue the sustained effort, and so that's what we're looking at doing. We're looking to see how we can make a difference in the lives of men in this nation moving forward. And you know, to go back to what I was saying, these men came together and volunteered their time, busy men. Harcourt McCoy, who's the principal of, I think, it's C.V. Bethel, they may have moved him, or I know he's been... but again, you know, this is a high school principal, Ricardo DeVoe, for the Student of the Year. He's heavily vested in that. But these men came together and gave their support, their assistance, their service in putting together the speech competition. The same thing can be said about the men that came together to lead praise and worship on that day. All of them, you know, very busy. They are musicians in their own right, doing their own thing, but they came together and they enjoyed it so much so that was the first time that they got together. They decided they wanted to stay together, and that's how they ended up with the... with the Father's Day concert. And I understand that they're probably planning to do the same thing at Freeport, have a concert in Freeport. And talking about Freeport, we had men in every single family island in this country that came together to organize. I'm not talking about the march now. I'm just talking about the organization.
I was just about to ask you whether or not this is a closed circuit, whether or not this kind of a leadership has already been able to kind of close off, or is there room for volunteerism, for voluntary persons who want to kind of give of their service?
We are in the process of, and that was part of the reason why we had the Facebook Live event, is so that men can sign up. So some of the things we have on the drawing board, for example, would be a mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
And the mentorship program, you know, when we think of mentorship, we think of men and boys kind of a thing. Well, this mentorship program would be men and men. Mm-hmm. You have young men, you have older men who want to get in business, but they need someone to coach them along the way,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help mentor them and let them know, you know, this is a sound business decision, this isn't, that type of thing. You have men who are starting families or who are in family and having trouble. They need someone to just come and talk to them, just to partner with them, to walk alongside them. So these are the things that we're looking at. This is the reason why we're appealing to men to join the organization, so that we have an army of men that can help men. Our position has always been, before anything happens in this country that a man is going to do, chances are he's going to talk to another man about it. And we want to be able to empower the men to have the right kind of conversations in that moment to say, listen, the decision that you're making is not a good one. How about this? How about you think about this? We need to have these conversations. And you know, this is not a gender thing, but man talk to man. Iron right. sharpens iron, right. you know? And so we have to keep that in its proper perspective. And that's the reason why we believe this, our organization will continue to grow and get stronger.
Well, I got to take this quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be able to stay tuned. We're going to talk more about the men's mobilization mission. Not just a march, we've actually transitioned into a mission, and it's well encompassing. It's being able to open its gates for all persons to come. And I want to find out more information about how you can participate. Please stay tuned. We're going to talk more about this and get into the cultural show also. I'm here with none other than Pastor Mario Moxie and Pastor Hervis Bean. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be right back after this.
Get ready to celebrate independence the BK way with our new Independence King Combo. Choose from our classic flame grilled beef version or indulge in a crispy chicken breast topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, cheese, and our special tropical sauce. Both come with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation perfect for celebrating every year. Remember to top off your Independence King Combo with a delicious guava sundae or the new guava ice shaker, available only at Burger King Nassau.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
The Guardian Media Group has your ticket to Paris.
On your marks, get set, go!
Join the Guardian Media Group, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio 96.9, and Hot 91 FM. And follow Team Bahamas from Paradise to Paris. Live comprehensive updates on Team Bahamas every day during the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are your ticket to Paris. Nassau Guardian Sports Editor Sheldon Longley will be trackside, bringing you closest to our athletes in their quest for gold. From Paradise to Paris, the 2024 Summer Olympics. Live updates brought to you by gold sponsors, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Jimmy Wines and Spirits, distributors of Refreshing Sands Beer, silver sponsor Executive Motors, and the bronze sponsors Hertz Rent-A-Car, Nagico Insurance, Bay Street Garage, Nassau Motors, your Chevy and Honda dealers, and New Life Natural. Let the games begin.
That was a fantastic last leg by Ramon Miller of the Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Excuse me for my interruption. Will you come? And a quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, and I'm please come over the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company, the foundation here, being able to chop it down with none other than Pastor Mario Moxie and Pastor Herbert Bean, being able to talk to us about men's mobilization mission. And this is a strong mission. You know, I am fascinated by it. I look at it. I look at the longevity of it. Y'all know how my mind works. I believe that there is sustainability in this once there is a significant commitment. The reason I asked the question as to what you were the hurdles that you were presented, not necessarily from the internal standpoint, because everyone's equally yoked. You've come to this kind of a position. They've yielded their time. They've volunteered their particular time and said that we can do this. But from our society, the conditioning that exists in our society, say, man, these fellas always is coming to ghetto. Come in these particular spaces, take pictures with us to say they're doing all these things. Politicians always doing this, does. The church always doing this, does. But if you find something sustained and you're committed to this sustainability and growth, you could find real transformation. Men's mobilization mission, even the transition from the march to the mission shows me that you have a desire, a heart to see this thing come to fruition and see productivity in our society. Talk to me about it.
You know, we want to make sure that whatever we do is sustainable. and if we're going to put our hands on it. So at this point, and I can't stress this enough, when we got started, this was not something that we had sat down and planned and tried to figure this out. We knew we needed to do something, and we stepped up and said, you know what, let's just jump in this. And as we jumped in it, we're now wading the water, and we're looking and seeing, okay, there's quite a bit things that we can do in this space. We want to do these things. Now we're having to organize and structure and all the other good stuff that needs to happen. And so we're looking at how we can do that. We definitely need assistance. We need great people at the helm to lead this out. Every aspect, every project that we have in mind requires a skill set of great leadership. And so we're looking for that. We're looking for people to join us and be part of something that is so much bigger than any one of us. But it's interesting that when we all get together, it's amazing what we are able to accomplish. And we put down our colors, we put down our stripes, our banners, and just come together as brothers to get something accomplished.
Mm-hmm. I want to commend you guys for being able to take on this position. And I want to know more specifically whether or not... Okay, so I see that you tackled the Simpson Pen, right? I see that you tackled, you've identified these particular things and the organic approach of how things are happening. I want to know from where you are, right? What is the strategy and the approach? Which angle are you going to be able to take it from first? A lot of persons start from the head and being able to speak to leadership and say, we need to change this. Some other persons take on this kind of a position. They start from the grassroots and saying, we need to change our mindset. Where has the men's mobilization mission identified that this is the direction or the area of concentration that we want to be able to kind of kick off from?
One of the things I've learned a long time ago is the word and. You know, it doesn't have to be or, either or this. We can be and, it can be both. You know, we recognize that we do need to hit it from a grassroots perspective. We need to touch the men involved, particularly in crime, because that's the emphasis of where we're focused. Touch their minds, touch their hearts, and I believe in just listening to them, there is a lot of men out there that want to do better. And I've listened to some of the guys talk. You know, they're in crime, they're doing things, but that's not necessarily the life that they want to live. They want to be able to have families. They want to be able to enjoy their families, enjoy their lives. They want to earn a decent living, legally. And but in some cases, they are not employable because they can't read. They don't have skills. And so we have to look at this from the perspective of how do we make somebody employable? How do we give them the skill set that they need that they can actually go and earn a job and have a decent living and have some pride in what they do. So when they face their families, when they face their little children, they don't have to conceal anything. You know, they don't have to hide behind anything. This is the desire of most guys. I've spoken to a guy tell me that he has the clutch because he knows the environment that he's in. He doesn't want to do that, but he's clutching. He has to carry a piece every time, and he's prepared to use it. These guys are no Boy Scouts. These are violent men that I'm talking about. So you have to understand the psyche and then also realize that they want better, but they find themselves trapped in a situation of their own doing, of course. And I'm not taking that away from it, but if they could do better, they would.
You know what's crazy is that sometimes we feel like persons could get lost in the numbers. Like, for a small, like if we were in a metropolitan area, a small million people, you could lose persons by the wayside. But in the community that we're in and the proximity that we have and the relationships that we have, you feel like, just like you said, Pastor, that person's based upon your own doing, you lock yourself out. But the question is, have you found that there are gatekeepers of sorts that are willing to open the gate and let these persons in, give them a second chance and an opportunity to be able to get back to formal society and be contributing members of society again?
But of course, though, I mean, when you talk about, to me, when I am involved with the men's mobilization mission, I'm involved with hope. You know, when you look at it, we're like not dope dealers, but we're hope dealers. In other words, allowing individuals to come to a safe place and now speak on the aspect of saying, listen, I want to do better, but what I see and where I am around, I don't know how to. So therefore, okay, let's show you. Let's organically show you. And so sometimes we who might be the gatekeepers can now open up to say, okay, this person, this young man is willing, this young man is wanting, this young man is desiring. So therefore, come, let's sit down and let's, you know, it's not going to be easy to climb up this mountain because it's not even easy for some of us. It's not going to be easy, but you have to understand, like, listen, if you want to change your life, you have to change the way that you look at it. And in 10 years, where you're going, what you're doing right now, is that sustainable? No. So let's show you the direction. And sometimes it's just being around individuals. Growing up as a young man myself, I used to, like, you know, be bothered when my mother say, your daddy's outside, go see what he's doing. You know, I'm like, why disturb daddy? But now I understand. Okay, I see, I have the image of what a man is doing to keep his house, whether he was cutting the grass, whether he was washing the car, whether, in other words, I saw my father do these type of things, so it made it easier for me to do it as a provider. You know, and so sometimes I'm not saying we're replacing fathers or replacing daddies or the image. It's that sometimes you would just need to have a hope, and that hope will look like this, or the hope will look like that. And so the Men's Mobilization mission itself is geared towards providing a safe atmosphere for change.
Yeah. So this kind of a concept of let your light so shine is the emulation of you doing. And the examples of persons being able to come into that. As I listen to you guys, as I listen to your position, as I've seen over the course of time, even from a broadcast perspective, a media perspective, both traditional and social media, you've taken on this kind of a concept to really be able to push this. We know that this is volunteerism. We know that this is definitely finances out of your pocket, but I see a commitment. And I know that if this is sustained, in due time and due season, we hear tremendous, remarkable stories about how life is transformed, how persons mm-hmm. would have gone off to school, how these things would have happened, how to hear testimonies, how kids would have said, I never thought I would have been anything. I was on a path. My daddy was this. My mommy was this. And I knew that I was going to be able to end up like this. But if it wasn't for this intervention, but if it wasn't for Men's Mobilization mission, I would have been in sort of the gutters of sorts. So I want to encourage you guys. I really want to be able to encourage you being able to take on this. Pastor Moxie, in your particular capacity, you have been in leadership across the board. I just want to be decent with you. You've been leader in leadership across the board. Your particular capacity in the Christian Council, if you want to be able to touch that, if you want to talk about these.
Yeah, points. I don't mind, but I also want to add something else to this, and that is I was talking to a business person about M3, about the Men's Mobilization mission and what motivates them. And I guess not so much surprised, but really blessed by their response. What they said was, crime is everybody's business. I'm a business person. And if I don't get involved with arresting this situation, this is going to come to my doorstep. So it is in my best interest as a business person to leverage my business and do something about this crime. And so they would help financially, but then but they'll also help by allowing some of these elements to come in and hire some of these individuals so that they can mentor them, so that they can coach them. And that's one person. You know, we look at this, and I only mention that because of what you said. It's easy to get lost in the numbers and see how many men are out there involved in crime and think that, you know, this is something that we can't do. And it reminds me of a story of this young man. He was walking by the seashore. He saw this older man picking up starfish that had kind of washed ashore, thousands of them, and he's picking them up and throwing them back in the water. And the young man looked at him and laughed and said, you think you're going to make a difference? All these starfish on this beach? The older man picked up one and threw it in the water and said, I made a difference for that one. And that's what we need to remember. There are thousands of young men out there that are in trouble. But if we can make a difference to one, it matters. And that's what I want to leave with business people.
I think that's important to be able to leave that with business people. And as I'm listening to the story also, I kind of shuffle through Facebook and TikTok to look for those inspirational stories, to look for news, to talk about current events here in this particular space. And one of the stories that I came across was this football player. He was on a podcast. He was in California someplace, and he said he pulled up to some fast food joint to get something to eat. And this guy pulled up on him and, you know, pulled a gun. He says, hey, give me your wallet. Give me your this, give me your that. He said, man, what you doing, man? What's going on with you? Right? And he looked at him and he recognized he was a professional football player. He said, oh, man, I can't even do this to you. Right? He said, I can't even do this to you. He said, so why are you out here with a gun? He said, man, I'm really hungry. That's the only thing. He said, okay, let's go. I can buy you something to eat. And he bought him something to eat. And that could tamper those things. I think that if we understand that it's really not about the possession, it's about equality, it's about an opportunity. Sometimes it's only about a full belly. All of us would participate. That we wouldn't have these kind of issues. If we participate, we could see transformation in our communities. Because a lot of business persons would take on this kind of position. You used to be in prison. I want nothing to do with you. Listen, man, but if you teach them, if you teach them customer service, if you teach them these things, they will never leave you. Some people, I have stories that, man, listen, this guy came from prison. He was with me for 31 years now. He's been doing wonderful. Yeah. I think that these are the stories that we look forward to. But I started to talk about this kind of a thing before we go to our next commercial break. I started to talk about this, and I wanted to hear from you in this last 10 minutes. The Christian Council has taken on a very kind of a strong position as it relates to being able to halt and hold off on the cannabis bill and being able to take those particular things. I know your capacity in the Christian Council. It started off that we're good with medicinal cannabis, but these sort of an add-on, I don't know whether or not it's from a religious standpoint, I don't know whether or not from an industrial and business standpoint. Talk to me about the Christian Council's position on that.
The Christian Council position, the statement that was released, clearly stated that the Christian Council supports cannabis for medicinal purposes. Mm-hmm. There were other concerns that we had, and those other concerns were related to the data in terms of, you know, when we make decisions, we need to make sure that we're making it based on facts. And so we were just asking about the data to support some of the assertions that were being made. We know that, you know, there's a psychosis that happens as a result of cannabis usage, of marijuana usage. And there's some report now that states that the users are predominantly men. Men and young men, 18, 30-year-olds, are not women. These are the people who are being affected by marijuana in our country. The question then is, why do we want to feed this? Why do we want to create loopholes where anyone can obtain marijuana and use it? The government position is this is not for recreational use. But if there are loopholes, you're creating a scenario where anyone can have access to it, under the guise of religious purposes.
I wanted to ask you that question. Is the Christian Council, are you alerted, aware, or even sort of focused on the fact that there may be a religious exodus and a lot of persons moving into sort of the Rastafarian concept and their posture and position just for the purposes of experiencing something new, experiencing this kind of a thing?
No, that's not a concern to us from that perspective. The legislation says that anyone can have it for religious use at home. They can just say that I need it for religious purposes. So it's not necessarily attached or affiliated or connected with the Rastafarian movement. Any John Blow can say,
as a Rasta, I am.
You know, I need it for a sacrament, and hence have access to it. So you
think the bill is too wide? It's just open.
It creates tons of loopholes for that sort of thing.
Wow.
The other aspect of this has to do with, you know, based on the statement that was released from the president of the Christian Council, the other argument had to do with agriculture. There's so many other aspects that we can invest in. This sets us up for other things. You know, it's do we have a market here? You know, do we have a strong enough market? We're talking about exporting it. There's a lot of ifs, you know, and that's the reason why we were just asking for data. You know, what is the data to support the assertions and a legislation of this magnitude? And so it forces you then begin to ask other questions that we don't want to ask, you know, but the average Bahamian is thinking, so who's benefiting from this? You know, is there special interest behind this that's pushing this upon us? And so we're doing something that's not necessarily in the best interest of the nation, but somebody's pocket is going to be aligned, and so someone benefits financially, and so therefore it's done.
I like that.
You know, so it's just a matter of us asking the questions, and that's all that it is. It's just asking the questions. Mm-hmm. This idea that the Christian Council is against medicinal use is muted. You know, that was never the case. There is a lot of support within the church community for medicinal use. Not everybody's in agreement, but there's sufficient support for it.
The eyes have it.
The eyes have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the narcotics that I shouldn't use, I'm not a doctor or pharmacist, but the drugs, the prescribed drugs that are used right now, many of them come from opioids. And so, you know, when I was in the hospital, I had morphine, and that's cocaine. So, and I had it in large doses that I was hallucinating at one point in time. So I'm very much aware, but again, at that particular point in time, it was controlled. I was in the hospital. They were monitoring me. I had severe pain that it required me, you know, having that level of drugs intravenously. So these are just some of the realities that we face. So of course, many in the church understand the medicinal use of it, and it's not smoked, you know. It's prescribed,
right?
Which is another concern, that if this is a prescribed drug, a controlled drug, then it should be, you know, disseminated by pharmacists, not dispensaries.
Mm.
Pharmacists understand the right dosage and so forth, and they do this every single day.
Mm.
Now we have this carve out for.
This is a complex conversation.
it's not an easy conversation. Hence the reason why it's important to have all of the facts. You know, when you start setting up dispensaries just for the purpose of issuing marijuana, I mean, let's have a conversation about that. You know, let's
that next week.
Let's talk about it. Let's put all the cards out all on the table and find out what's the real.
I'd like to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Next week, God's prayer, I can call y'all. Now, I want to know, before we get out of here, you have been really pushing for this. July 26th, there's a great event that's going to be coming up. The Edmund Moxey Cultural Show and Lignum Award. You guys are going to be doing a wonderful, wonderful stuff over at Baha Muhammad Church. This is the fourth annual. So talk to me about it. Talk to me about what we can expect and how persons can be able to participate in that.
We say the fourth annual because it's the fourth time that we're actually doing it on a Friday night. But this is something that we've been doing for a very, very long time.
Okay.
From the very inception of Baha Muhammad Church, we've been having all things Bahamian every July. And so come July, we know that our church is decked out in Bahamian colors for an entire month.
Mm-hmm.
I usually teach a series about the Bahamas every single July for the entire month.
Where you go?
1 year. We did the coat of arms, and we had the esteemed privilege of interviewing Dr. Hervis Bain, who is Hervis' father. And it was such a beautiful time. And, you know, he sat in our office with our staff members, and he just unpacked. And the interesting thing about it is, he said at the end, he says, you know, I want y'all to know that that was the first time I've been debriefed on the coat of arms.
Debriefed?
Yeah.
He identified it as a debriefing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
Explaining why this was there.
Strategically.
Why that was there.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the coat of arms, it's divided by land and sea. Why did you choose land and sea? And him being the designer, the creator, through God, as he would say, you know, he left the door open always for God. Why did you choose, before there was a flamingo that's the national bird, or a marlin that was the national fish. He was the one who basically assembled them to be supporters of the coat of arms. And so we went through that type of scenario.
I'd like to watch that interview.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We had it recorded, but, you know.
It was recorded in audio, video. I'd like to hear that. We sat, and it's interesting because we were just preparing for a message series.
Right.
So I wanted to do a message series on the coat of arms. And so the best way to do that is to interview the person who designed it.
Right. Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful, because you sit in the presence of someone like that and you always end up with more than you bargained for, you know. We went there to, we invited him to come to us just to talk about the coat of arms, but we got an incredible lesson in Bahamian history and patriotism. You know, it's you leave so filled. But to your point, I'm only using that as an illustration that every year we do something on the Bahamas. And one year I invited Painted Taylor to come and play his bongos. And so I'm introducing Painted Taylor and telling about his story about Paul Mears and all this, and really creating a platform so that he could come and stand on that platform and present to the congregation. I didn't want to bring him on the platform and the congregation doesn't know who he is. I wanted them to respect this man the way that I respected him, and see him the way that I saw him. And by the time I was done introducing him, he was washed away in tears. And he said to me, he says, you know, I didn't think anybody remembered me. I didn't think anybody remembered my story.
Wow.
And that just did something to me. You know, it's like, why would you think that we'll forget you? The Bahamas will never forget you, you know? And so that brought on the Lignum Awards. We wanted to make sure that these individuals who were in the trenches, who built this nation, these were the individuals that we want to acknowledge and want them to always know that we remember you. We remember the work that you've done.
So tell me about it. This year, you're going to be able to identify a few persons posthumously. You're going to be able to look at Obadiah Wolfscombe. Who else are you going to be able to look at?
Alma Adams. And Dr. Enos Judson, posthumous.
Okay.
So, and then there are others, in, of course, that we have identified that we're really excited about who are going to be there in person. We have Ellison Greenslade, the former police commissioner, as well as Ambassador Ira Storr. Alma Adams is for education, Dr. Ennis is for medicine, and Obadiah Wolfscombe would be for politics. Law and Order would be Ellison Greenslade. Arts and Entertainment would be Ira Storr. For sports would be Osborne Goose Lockhart, played with the Harlem Globetrotters. And the civic organization would be the Victor Sassoon Heart Foundation. The cultural ambassadors would be T Connection. I can't wait to see those guys. You know, I have them on my playlist now. For religion will be Bishop Michael Seminette. You know, T Connections, they really define disco music. You know,
I know very well. My daddy got them playing all the time when I was a little boy. Right, give me some more information before we get to this break. Let me know how persons can be able to reach out to you to get tickets and find out more information.
So they can go online to bahamaservicechurch.org and they can basically purchase tickets there. They can come to the church Monday through Thursday. And they can also give us a call at 364-6266 so that they can be able to reach us. The tickets are $25 for adults and children that
And it's going
to
be on July?
Children are 12 and under will be $50.
Okay.
And it will be on July 26th at 7 p.m.
July 26th at 7 p.m.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next Friday.
Well, I'm going to talk more about it as we move towards next Friday. But ladies and gentlemen, it's really great to be able to have this kind of a conversation with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity. And you shouldn't be strangers. Talk to me. You should not be strangers, especially if you're going to be able to push this men's mobilization mission. I'd like to be able to participate with what I have to kind of make that thing happen. Okay?
Amen.
All right, guys, quick commercial break. We got to get to news and be right back after this.
Waiting. The girlfriend on the gate side waiting. But waiting till I'm morning.
But this a long time, girl, me never see you.
Yeah.
Brr, come make me hold you, run. I miss you, come make me wheel and turn you. Come make me do the shaky, 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 shake. I miss you one step back, I miss you two step forward. Rub and go down and then you rub and come up. Cause it's a robot of evening. Bim! The people, them turn off freaking. Finish, finish.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You been to the man number one town round town. At this Friday evening, bim! The people have tired of working. Fena, fena, Lord, them hear the disco playing. Bim! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great and with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 feeter. And this is DJ Talk Sweeter. Still on the blues are up with the echo chamber. Watch your man, play the play. And they must tear up the game. Them won't be stepping with them castles and them chains. Oh Lord, play for the vibe. Let's keep them alive.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are wide open if you want to be able to join me. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796 on the text line. Guys, it's a beautiful day, man. I'm grateful to be in your company. I got to say to y'all again, I don't know what you guys will be doing for this weekend, but take your children out, man. Learn to break bread with your children and have conversations to ask them where they are. I've been listening to some stuff over the past few days. My wife say, I want to commend you, right? She said, I want to commend you for not spiraling out of control like you normally do, right? So she thinks I spiral out of control. When I start listening to these things, and I'm convicted that this is the path. I'm convicted that this is sort of an enlightened understanding of something that I couldn't put my finger on for a long time. And finally, I've been able to get clarity on it. I sometimes take it over the top. I really do. I might as well tell you. I know I wouldn't like to say that. You know, saying it out loud is a difficult thing sometimes. But nonetheless, I do. And I've been watching some stuff to talk about families and understanding how to be able to deal with families from a faith perspective in tandem and in alignment with our views from a Christian standpoint. And so as I was looking at those things, just hearing some of the stories associated with how kids are growing up this day with this sort of a facade of Christianity, this facade of religion in the home, and their allegiance is to nothing. Right? And there's sort of an idea that living double standard, doing what their parents desire to see them do, and they're living another life someplace else, right? So it's important to talk to your kids. It's important to talk to your kids about how they're living, not just merely just the topical conversations about how's your grades. Talk to them about relationships. What do you think about relationships? What do you think about family? What do you think about expansion thereof? What do you think about these things? Guys, we got to participate in these things. You got to participate in these things. You got to figure out a way to have a conversation with your kids. Not even your friends. Talk to me. I think a lot of us get confused in this kind of a space. They ain't your friends. I ain't your friend. Let's just be very clear with you. I say daddy. Amen? I ain't your friend. But as a father, I could have conversations with you that I think could be able to help you along the way. You don't have to hear this from another man. You don't have to hear this from someone without an anchor. Talk to me about it. Right? And so I'd like to know about these things. I'm talking to my son about, what he's doing in the States, whether or not he's anchored in this sort of a concept and idea. What are you doing in terms of being able to keep your mind clear and your sobriety from a faith standpoint? What are you doing? And I think it's important that you do those things. And, I found that it's easier to have a conversation over breaking bread, over eating. It's just scientifically proven. I found that it's easier to have a beautiful meal, enjoying yourself, a refreshing beverage, being able to sit down in a cool environment, everyone's comfortable, you're just full in your stomach, having a good conversation. And that kind of an openness lends us to a position where we could find out where our kids are. So if you want to do that, I carry your kids out this weekend. I suggest to you, go down, check your good friends out down by Coco Plum Bistro. I'm telling you, right? Go
Go down by Coco Plum Bistro, enjoy yourself, beautiful environment, great conversation. And for those persons who are courting, you're looking for a girlfriend, I hope to God it ain't just for a little slice. Talk to me. I just want to be decent with you. I'm hoping that you're looking to be able to court these young women. They won't destroy the woman's life for the purposes of lying to her. The baby, I love you. Oh, God. I love you so bad I could cry, girl. Jesus. I will marry you. Then she give you a little slice which you've been looking for. And then, bam, you leave the woman alone. Destroy her. Let's be decent as men. Let's be decent. And if you're in this kind of a courting state, carry the woman on a date. Now, I don't know what is dating. I told you, I never understood dating. I know you're courting for the objective of marriage. When I met my wife, I'm different from y'all, though. I ain't gonna fight you. I ain't trying to make you me, but I'm just saying me. I knew I wanted a wife. I knew that. My uncles then make fun of me, tell me I never bring no woman around the house. I never bring no, because my cousins bring 6 and 7 different women home every week. Only 7 days in a week. They didn't bring 10 women this week. Jesus got me. Say, there's another one, baby. My God. It's enough. Baby, it's another one. That's a shame. Well, that's the only way he could get the woman. He didn't lie to her. So I love you, baby. Let me meet, I want you to meet Grammy. Now, you know, from you meet Grammy, bang, you get your little signature right away. He's serious. He let me see his Grammy. Stop it. Right? So let's be real with it. Let's be real with it. I feel it's important to break bread. To break bread. I always take my time out to be able to have and build memories around, because I'm a big guy, don't fight me, right? But I feel like it's important to have good conversations around a good meal. And so I go down to Coco Plum Bistro, but in the mornings, I always have some great conch, stew fish, sheep tongue. I see him say the other day he had rib sauce, chicken sauce, great lunches, and all these particular things down by Garden of Eden. Now, he don't tell me to say this, but I won't say this to you because this is where I go. Garden of Eden has some great breakfasts. Ephraim Jones, talk to my good friend Ephraim Jones, man. Give him a call down there. They can be able to assist you. Or if you're going down for an evening and you want to be able to enjoy yourself, go down to Coco Plum Bistro. They can take very, 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 very good care of you. Actually, my good girl Chantel, she can be able to assist you. 677-6776 or opentable.com to make your reservations to be able to go there. Break bread with your family, man. My God, you're cheering getting back to school. Some cheering coming out of school. Some cheering out of school. Some cheering going to another grade level. You want to find out about these children, I believe the children are the future. They are. Let's be decent about it and make these things happen. Guys, join me in conversation today. 322-6232, 322-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of violence, 242-300, 5720, hit me up, 422-4796. I wanted to be decent, man. I wanted to ask the vice chairman or the vice president of the Christian Council, Pastor Mario, I just wanted to know from him what was the thinking from the Christian Council's perspective. And he indicated to me that the Christian Council is never pushing back on this sort of a position as it relates to medicinal cannabis. However, the government has taken on this kind of another avenue. I got some questions for the government. I really do. I agree with him in the stead to say that it's very wide. And the interpretation thereof, I'm sure that there's modification. I feel indifferent about it. This kind of relentless push and this kind of swift approach to be able to make this happen, the Christian Council in the person of Mario Moxie has indicated that is there something afoot? Is there something happening behind the scenes? Is there, are you being advanced by some conglomerate, some individuals, some quote unquote money to be able to ensure that things are taken care of in these particular? I just want to ask the question. I don't understand. I don't understand why the tag. This conversation started off with medicinal cannabis. I was gung-ho. Everybody knows that. I was a part of Bukhari and Bahama Khan and my cousin Elliot Marshall being able to talk about these things. Like I indicated to you, if you did not know this, maybe you did not know this. And I'm sure that you don't. this agitation started with Elliot Marshall Hepburn. And I said to him, because he came to me, and I created a sort of an approach and a strategic approach of how to do this locally. I created the entire thing for him. And I said that the very first thing that we need to be able to do is educate people on what cannabis is. Talk about the medicinal value. I said, the Christian Council and nobody else going for nothing else other than medicinal value in a concentrated area. So we will concentrate and relentless on having a conversation about medicinal cannabis. Even when they said medicinal marijuana, I said to him, stop telling people, stop saying marijuana. Stop it. The stigma associated with marijuana is not going to be good for a social standpoint. Educate people about the concept and idea of what cannabis is. And we pushed for that. And now that we've seen it, the government of the Bahamas has sought to kind of modify it. I know that Priest Whitman and God bless his soul, Priest Blyden, when he was alive with us, has been talking about this and talking about the religious community or the Rastafarian community always being able to utilize this for the purposes of sacrament. Now, they finally got this kind of position. I just did not know that the government was going to take it from there. I didn't know. And I don't believe that the Christian Council would have been on board if they understood that this was the approach that the government was going to take from a legislative standpoint. I just want to be decent with this and talk about these things. I think that the I don't know if it was underhanded, but the implications can be able to open the door to too much things. And I agree with that. I agree with the Christian Council. How many people are going to say, you're doing this for religious purposes? You might as well have a conversation about recreational use. You might as well talk about recreational use. If you're going to do this, don't stipulate it. You can't measure it. You're not going to be able to police it. You don't have the wherewithal to police this. So you might as well have a conversation about recreational use. Now, when you start talking about there's sort of an idea of being able to go through their pharmacy, you don't necessarily want Big Pharma. That's why I said that this is a complex conversation. You don't want Big Pharma hand in this. You don't want Big Pharma hand in this. If we're going to talk about behemonization, if we're going to talk about empowerment, if you're going to talk about jobs and opportunities, this cannot only be from the service end. How are you going to truly empower Bahamian people? We're going to need a piece of the pie. And we don't want a little piece, a little Debbie pie. We want a whole big Shirley Caesar pie. I mean, the Patti LaBelle pie, the big one. We want a big pie. We don't want the little Debbies. We want a big pie. We want a part of what California has seen in $20 billion. We want a part of what Canada has seen. We want a part of this transition that's happening in Jamaica. We want a part of the bigger pie. How are you going to empower Bahamian people to be able to get a license for that? And then how are you going to be able to find yourself in this kind of position that you can be able to not only ensure that there is a standard that's being met, but you can be able to go throughout these various dispensaries and all these particular things to ensure that everything is taken care of. How are you going to do that? How? You should let the experts deal with this, in my view. This is me. This is Howard. This is just Howard. You should let people like Elliot Marshall Hepburn identify these particular things with a strategic team that can be able to assist him. He knows Bahamian people who've been dealing with cannabis all over America. They've been calling him, consulting with him, and he's been agitating for this for a very long time. Why hasn't the government called him and officially put him in a capacity? Why does it have to be local? It says to me that your only care and concern is to be able to ensure that there's currency among your friends, families, and lovers. It's bigger than you. This is an industry. If these people have relationships from an external standpoint, they could bring extra expertise internally. You don't have to go outside of the realm of Bahamianization. Bahamians. Everything could be done in-house. And so is the government doing that? No. I don't see them doing that. And so we can have further conversations about that. The lines are wide open. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard.
Hey, good afternoon, my brother. What's happening?
Boy, I appreciate that interview you had.
Yeah, man.
A while ago.
Yeah, man.
It really gives the public an idea as to where we're heading religiously and with the, you know, our leaders. Because those are real leaders you had on there, you know.
Yeah, man. They really are.
There ain't no puppets there.
They really are.
Anyhow, I hope you all could fall in love. But Howard, you know what really is striking to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I fill your car with bullets because you probably stole my drug from me, but I didn't carry the drugs. I mean, the police could find the drugs. And then again, anyway, I just thought I'd throw it out to you, and you could connect the dots from there, right?
I connect the dots big time. These are big traceable dots. I can.
And then
it's and a rope to connect them. You need to stop.
Why would I put an ankle monitor bracelet on you, and only just to know where you are? Because I want to know where you are, and I ain't coming to tell you you out your bounds. Like, you're not confined to your home. I ain't putting you through no ring because you leave your house and didn't tell me you was leaving. I only want to know where you are. And then why every time when something happened, these persons are known to the police? Have a nice day, Howard.
I appreciate you. And I appreciate you carrying us down this dark hole again. This is relentless conspiracy. And it seems as though this translucent, it's gone from transparent to translucent to a position where it's tangible now, right? Because this kind of this connection from the transparent to this kind of a position that we can be able to see it solid has been traveling with, traveling over, looming over the Royal Bahamas Police Force for a long time. That's all he's saying. All he's saying is, as a result of corruption, this must be an internal division within the organization that's responsible for doing these particular things. I ain't gonna say that. He wanted me to put it together, but I'm gonna say it like this. Because I don't know it. I don't know it to be true. But this is socially how people view the Royal Bahamas Police Force. How are we gonna fix this, man? How are we going to fix this? We got to fix this, man. We got to fix this view. We got to fix this view because we've taken on this kind of position for a very long time in this country to be viewed as corrupt. That Bahamians are corrupt. That no matter how beautiful this place is, that we are corrupt as a people. That we will do anything for a little couple of dollars. That people who could be able to do sort of an exit poll, investors in this country doing an exit poll, being able to come out of the country, you sit down with them and have a conversation about their desires to be able to invest in the country. They say, man, listen, I had to put so much money aside to be able to put in this one pocket, to bribe this one, to bribe that one. We heard it with the Fire Festival. We heard it for this. We heard it for that. We keep hearing this concept and idea of corruption. How in the hell are we going to get rid of that? How? How would every other country corrupt? Yeah, I agree with you. But is it pronounced the way that it is with the country, with our country? The perceived corruption or even the alleged corruption that we hear about America is under wraps. And that thing is unraveled. They push you right out into the cold. And you got to get, hey, somebody got to take a hit. All us can't go down. But at least the perception of justice is followed behind these things. Locally, we don't see nothing. Can I say that? If we go all the way back, even further back, to a case that happened in West End, Grand Bahama, with the allegations and speculations of someone who possibly died in West End, Grand Bahama, and the police car coming down there, I'm sorry, and the ambulance coming down there to be able to check on it, the allegations that was surrounded this particular thing is that the gentleman was dead. Can I say this? Is it okay to say this? I ain't calling no name. But if you know the story, you know what I'm talking about. This is the corruption that exists in our country and the perceived corruption. This is the allegations. We've heard relentless stories about these things. How are we going to deal with this? Maybe we should have an external entity identify the web that is corruption in this country. Or are you afraid that all your auntie and cousin gain the jail? Yeah, but they got to go to jail. You know your auntie wasn't worth more than $28,000 a year on a good year. How'd she get a $750,000 home? On a good year. When she had all her P's and Q's together, tops she value as a human being in terms of her understanding and inception is $28,000. Where'd she get a $750,000 house from? What she did? Nobody asks these questions. Nobody. We leave it alone and say, child, my God. But God, I give you praise because when it's my time, I want nobody say nothing. That's what you say. You got to deal with that. Telephone call on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am just wanting to tell you of the good work you're doing.
I appreciate
you. Keep it up because you're decent like that. And
hey!
You talk decent.
Jesus. Go ahead, girl. Let me hear
Listen,
it.
I send you one text message, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You send me a text message?
For me, right on point.
When you send it to me?
When you first started your show.
Oh, okay. I can look at it.
Pass those on.
Okay, I can look at it. I look at the text
That's
message.
Okay.
Yet. I appreciate
okay.
you.
But I know the young man that was, I personally know him, that was gunned down yesterday, and he's connected to someone who's sitting down, protected in the correctional unit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's the shooter for the one who's sitting down on vacation.
Wow.
While our taxpayers' money taking care of him to protect him, because if he come on the street, he can be dead just like his boyfriend.
I appreciate you. You're getting deep today, baby doll. You're getting deep today. You didn't call everybody. You wouldn't even give me the Alec. You wouldn't even give me the speculation around the thing. You're going right to the bang line. You're doing a lot of things, man. And I'm sure that these are allegations and speculations. When we open up the lines, we hear these things from a lot of persons who are out there. But I think that all of us are on the same page. We have to deal with corruption. We have to. And I think politics and politicians are very casual with their approach to being able to say, let the chips fall where they may, but you don't mean that. Because a chip will fall right off you, just the same way the chip fall right off the block and your son turn out to be a criminal. The chip will fall right on your back. You don't want it to fall where it may. Let's be decent. You don't want the chip to fall where it may. But I would like that. I'd like to see. We got to deal with these things. Let's see what one more telephone call before we go to break. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, Howard.
Hey, what you say, my brother?
Hello.
Hey, radio.
Howard, you
What's
know what's up, Howard?
No.
Now, listen to me, man. You know, the Negro is in a dilemma, right? Especially in this country, right? You know, we have the commissioner. Hopefully, he'll be the first one who would really show that he means what he says when he says he's committed to upholding transparency and accountability, which I know. For me, and for anyone who's thinking, really, it's really almost BS for me if he doesn't decide to make a paradigm shift in that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're watching the words and we're not watching the actions, just like politicians, it's basically futile. And so with the lady, with the gentleman, my boy who called and talked about known to the police are known to the police, but they keep that internally. For instance, the guy that shot the guy at that apprehended the guy that killed the guy in the club, right? He's an off-duty police. You saw his surname, right, Howard? You didn't see his surname?
I remember what you're talking
He's
about.
He's an Asian Bohemian. So what I'm saying is he is suspended from the police force. But yesterday he had an unlicensed firearm that he shot the guy with to apprehend him. Well, I mean, I like to compliment him for apprehending the guy. But what I'm saying is he shouted police because he can't conceive in his mind that he's not a police anymore. That's how powerful this thing is.
Mm.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm saying is they have their internal affairs that they don't discuss externally. So what I'm saying is they know who the nefarious guys is within their entity, but they want me and you to disclose who's nefarious on the road and the reciprocity stinks when it's an overall safety of the collective. Now, the guy at the short just down the road from where my business is, I know him. He's a young guy. He's caught up in this foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
The other guys in Fox Hill, I know them too. I know the two of them. I know them well. I live in Fox Hill for years. Now, who in Sojourn, I don't know, but being known to the police doesn't mean anything, but the police do their job, they apprehend these people, they come out on bail, et cetera, whatever. But what I'm saying is, we are being kidnapped by science, and we're being kidnapped by injustices. We cannot speak out the truth about science. There was a guy on Dwight's show this morning, and he was talking about his position with a stomach problem. What I was saying is, Howard, if I point you in a direction to go read something, why would you then say professionals? Who are writing these scholarly articles on you on the internet? Professionals, right?
Right.
So what I'm saying is, when you have people saying that the book that you read online is different from the book that you have in your hand, the only dangerous about an online platform and a digital platform is they will use it to censor and control the narrative. And you have heard me over the radio over the last 5 or 10 years talk about cyber 9/11 attack, right?
Yeah.
All right. So these things are possible. So if you put everything digitalized on the internet, what happens when the current cut off or you have a cyber 9/11 attack?
What's happening today? Nobody will talk about this.
I spoke about these are things that my mind is prepared.
What's happening today?
What I'm saying is, when you have the whole world in a digital paradigm, that means you could kidnap the whole world. Let's forget about that one. Let's talk about the injustices here in this country. Now, They don't care about the ghetto youths killing out one another. A sister and a brother. Cousins are caught up in this model and all. Brothers going against brothers because it is gang model paradigm. And then the police force is infallible. They never do anything wrong for the past 50, 60 years. They have never been wrong about anything they say. The gospel according to the police, people continue to live this. Now, you painted a very simple picture to solve corruption, which is give an account for what you have. And you know that can't be done, Howard.
No.
All right, so what I'm saying is, only the poor man on the street with his hair ain't comb, right, from the womb to the tomb, will be dubbed as a criminal.
My God.
And so these people... I'm not even specific, pointing fingers directly at the police only. You got prison officers, everybody else mixed up, and immigration, everybody mixed up in selling out the country and selling themselves. They are monetized corruption, right or wrong.
Right.
But yet still, we sit as the masses, pacified and divided by politics and politics, right? But we expect the country to move forward.
Wow.
You see me? So we are a nation of cowards, and we see the surnames of these people. Let me clarify something that...
I got to take a break.
If I'm going to be 16 in August, but I born in the inner city, you don't think I can paint a picture better than any of these jokers on the radio?
Yeah.
I want to hear from someone in the inner city. Now, I want someone from the inner city to call me and tell me. See, in the inner city, Howard, there's no such thing as the Haitian and the Bohemian. So what I'm saying is, you have Haitian, Bohemian descent, mixed up in the gangs with the people too. So all of them is one. You don't hear them... They're influenced by Bohemians and Haitian Bohemians alike. So we in the inner city, we don't look at one another as Haitian Bohemian. We saying that's my boy would go up there. My boy would go up there. All us is one. So they mix up in the gang too. But please recognize it for what it is. They are contributing heavily because they outnumber us in the inner city. And they are easily pulled into the gang model. I don't need no one to come tell me nothing. I grow them up. I see them. I know them.
They I like that 52.
You hear the surname of the guys that would shoot up the prison office place. You hear the surnames of the people who are committing the crime. But yet still, you trying to blame. Man, it's all us.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they predominantly outnumber us in the inner city.
Well, we heard that before. We heard that before. It's more of them than us. I got to take this commercial break 52. I appreciate you telling me.
Call with us, man. Because, Howard, we don't have no green spaces in the city. So the people have to be violent. We don't have no green spaces, Howard.
Ain't enough oxygen, eh?
Howard, you don't believe that, eh?
I believe you.
Cars in concrete jungle.
I like that.
You ain't ever read the book Brave New World? And Howard, man, do some reading for these people, yeah? Because these people lost, bro.
I like it, 52. Thank you, man, guys. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take this and be right back after this.
Coming, they my pigeon fan. But when I play LP, say them really love me. They my pigeon and spring. But this that ain't
no. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Looking for great device deals and offers this summer? Look no further! Alive has special discounts on the latest smartphones, Ring devices, and accessories. Plus, as an Alive customer, you can expect exclusive Get Extra offers and rewards, which means even more value for your money. We're talking more data, prizes, and surprises. Upgrade with us and experience the perfect summer with Alive in store or at bealive.com/deals. Extra, extra.
Now, let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fix up.
Call us at 326 EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Deals, 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 and more deals. Bundle and save. Bargains all day as BWF is celebrating its 52nd anniversary in grand style. 1 week of blowout savings up to 50% off July 22nd through July 25th. And a red hot clearance sale under the big tent outside July 26th through 27th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Everything must go. Don't miss it. Be there and save, save, save. Savings include appliance combo specials, ductless AC units, barbecue grills, kitchen and outdoor cooking supplies, lawn and garden cooking supplies, automotive supplies and accessories, hardware supplies, generators, compressors and pressure washers, industrial supplies and power tools, household supplies, craft supplies and floral deco, and so much more. BWF, we are more than just our name. Number 13 Wilton Street, telephone 394-0004 or 6. Check us out on Facebook. We ship to the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, cuz
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over and our back to school supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the two insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardians Back-to-School Supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, Sean. Boy, come. And a quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, and please come over the lawn. You went to see my number one town around town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people have tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, they made the disco.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company. Lines are wide open, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796, right here, live and full effect. Let me take the telephone call. Caller on the line with us live, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, caller, thanks so much for holding. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, Sparky.
You're breaking up, Sparky. I know what happened.
Yeah,
I'm
on your side because I hear you clear.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just listened to 52. And like I told you many times before, they used to call me a chronic caller one time ago from back in the 90s. We were talking about this corruption. Howard, I used to take my lunchtime. I was working at Metelco. On my lunchtime, I would go out and use my cellular or go and use my home phone on my lunchtime. I used to have supervisors at Metelco come from my desk in the morning marathon and tell me, stay off the talk news. On my lunchtime, my time, they used to be telling me, stay off the talk shows. Because we was talking about the immigration problem. We was talking about the corruption. But we little young boys on the street, and I keep telling you about that, before most of y'all were born, before most of y'all know about talk shows, I've been telling you, and we've been talking about this stuff a long time ago from Jones TV, station, all of that, ZNS and all of that. When we had policemen had homes and properties in this country bigger or maybe the same size of the prime ministers and deputy prime ministers of this country, and we used to wonder how these policemen back in the day, with the salaries that, you know, the government employees, you know they don't make that big money, eh?
No.
But they had 2- and 3-story homes on top of hills in this country with children going to private schools.
Nobody asks these questions. I never understood that.
Children going to the private schools like the prime minister. Children, the prime minister, they're making the big money, and the prime minister, them is lawyers and everything. And these policemen back in the day were on the same bar as the prime minister. You wonder, how were they doing it? And that's been going on from way back then. It ain't nothing new.
No.
And we was talking about it when we were young, 18, 19, 20 year olds. I'm 73 years old now. And all I'm hearing today is guns in the country, murder every in the day. Not only at night, now. In the middle of the day on main streets like Prince Charles and Woodford and Market Street. In the middle of the day on the corner while traffic passing, ambulance passing, and police passing in the middle of the day. All this thing going on. All this corruption. I never heard about this in my lifetime. And I wonder, what are we going to do other than the talk show? Talk. Ain't nothing seem to be changing. Be talking. In the House of Assembly, we making all the new rules, all the new laws. But what about the enforcement of all of these rules and laws and so forth? People still deeping. People still killing. Illegal immigrants keep coming in. Now they all over the Tennessee papers applying for citizenship in the hundreds. What are we going to do? What's going to be left here for me and your children who at this time can't buy a piece of property 100 by 100 in their own country? But foreigners could come in and buy beachfront property, and they could buy islands, and they could build gated communities and tell us, stop at this gate, the security will not let you in. On my little island, 21 by 7, I'm in a crab basket now. I only could drive maybe 10 square miles. In my country, I can't even go on some beaches anymore. But I don't want to go no more, because shark they can never work. Have a good day.
Thank you, Sparky. Thank you, Sparky. Howard, great show as usual. The government don't want to hang. They don't want to give. They don't want give dinosaur time, which is 3 lifetime sentences. They don't want to cane. So the question is, what in the living hell is the punishment for murder? I'd like to throw a monkey tamarin on the murderers and then cane them. Or do a prison lotto. And the person who name get picked, that person getting hanged. I think you I've never heard a lotto like this, sir. I don't know if any people want your hand in that. I said, yeah, let me be a part of that. Be part of that lotto, man, because if I can get something done. No, I don't know if they can be a part of that. But, you know, one of the things that, I got to say this. I see a telephone call on Fight Me coming now. I got to say this to you. And I'm gonna be able to drive this home. Our governments don't stand for nothing. None of them. They don't believe nothing. They don't stand for nothing. They seek to accommodate you and to appease your desires, whatever that is. Whatever is your desire for the moment, the government seeks to be able to do that. Okay? Under the auspices of the former prime ministers, you would have been able to see that in one way or another. Not so much with Minnis. You would have seen that with Hubert Ingraham. You would have seen that with Perry Christie. Hubert Ingraham had his particular way, but he always, I think his defiance was the roads. No matter what, he said, this is the right thing to do. And I think that time indicate that he was correct in some way or another. He was correct in this particular stead. And it's just socially, people were afraid to move towards change. However, we've recognized, and maybe I could be able to put it like this: the PLP is relentlessly genuflect to the whims and the desires of the Bahamian people. And more so, I'm seeing that concentrate in our current prime minister than the former. Now, we've seen the office of the prime minister and other ministers and members come out and say that this is the path that we're taking. And then there's a social pushback to say that this is a terrible path. This is a terrible path. Now, we haven't heard from the prime minister yet. But there were officials that came out and say that this is the position that the government has taken. And then, after a significant social pushback, we would have seen our prime minister come out and say, well, I hear you. Hold on, wait. We can deal with this accordingly. We can make sure everybody's taken care of. Relentlessly seeking to people please. That's not what we need in a leader. It may seem good, but it's not what we need in a leader. Moses did not see the promised land because of genuflection. If you have a task and a responsibility, stay steadfast to that. The Bahamas needs conviction and leadership. A leader that will say, I hear what you're saying, but this is the path that we're taking for the time that we have. That's what we need. We need a leader that doesn't genuflect to local whims and desires or international postures and positions. Our current prime minister is seeking to be a shapeshifter relentlessly, genuflecting to the desires, especially when there's social pushback from these particular things. You can't do this. Can't. We're now watching, there was this article yesterday to be able to talk about Wynn Monroe's position, almost backpedaling on his position that he took years ago, four years ago. The government of the Bahamas doesn't need to take on this kind of a posture. I never forgot what Fred Mitchell said, that we need to align ourselves with global views. Well, who the hell would we be if we keep aligning ourselves with global views every day that's changing? Every day. We rejected the idea of aliens and UFOs and spacecrafts, and then the CIA let out information, then the whole world said, well, yeah, okay, you know, well, it ain't really that bad, you know. They may be living amongst us right now, my God. There may be synthetic beings. About. Why do we keep shifting our position? Is it because of new information, or is it because we weren't thorough in our conviction in the first place? The government of the Bahamas, the people of the Bahamas needs leadership. Leadership. And we're not getting that. We're getting someone who seeks to be able to appease to us. Anytime my baby girl making noise, anytime. The more noise she makes, the more she knows that she's making me sick and tired, and I will yield to her desires. Unless it's something that I totally disagree with. She knows that. And I don't think that this should be the scenario amongst matured men and women who understands the responsibility of a productive society. Our government needs to stand still and committed to this move towards the future. Let me take these last two calls before we get it here. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Carl, how you doing, buddy?
I good, man. What's happening?
Well, you know, crime in this country is more of a marketing exercise, you know.
It has a what?
Crime is a marketing exercise.
Marketing?
Yes.
Wow.
Crime, if you look at crime is restricted to a particular demographic. You know, at least 90% of the people who shoot know who shoot them, you know.
Wow.
You know, it doesn't go beyond a certain demographic. Now, our boy was right about the conflict. Our boy was right about the concrete jungle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a concrete jungle. It's a clapboard jungle.
Wow.
It's a clapboard jungle.
Wow.
You know, these guys are going to stop playing and get serious.
Yeah, I think that would they believe to be their best? But this ain't good enough.
No. They have to go beyond that. and just stick with the rules.
Wow. Okay. I appreciate you, man.
Okay?
Yeah, man.
Policeman, politician, whoever, sports person, stick by the rules.
Stop. I agree with you, man. I like it. I appreciate your telephone call. And I want to be able to read one more thing. It says, Howard, they need to make Mr. Meet Me Outside in charge of the prison. I try not to laugh. I try not to laugh. Do you know who's outside? You calling me a liar? You calling me a liar? Look for me. You remember Mr. Meet Me? Don't fight me, right? Let me take a next one. You take an angle, God. Go on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard, I ain't got much time. I didn't listen. Yeah, Howard, let me just ask.
Go ahead.
Let me talk to you quick. Because last time I called you, you let me run on, and then you come back and you say some things which I didn't agree with, right? Number one, Howard, listen, what is the purpose of the Minister of National Security?
You mean to oversee his ministry, to be able to execute those things, to enact those things from a legislative standpoint? Okay, what else?
Yeah. Is he doing his job? Is he performing up to par?
Yes.
He is?
From the Prime Minister's standpoint, he don't serve at the pleasure of Howard Grant. He don't serve at the pleasure of the community. He serve at the pleasure of the Prime Minister.
Right. So,
and if the Prime Minister is satisfied with him carrying out this particular agenda, legislative agenda, and using the language that he is, of course he's performing according to his requirement.
Let's move on. You said that the minister cannot stop crime from killing. Nobody can stop somebody from killing another person.
No.
Howard, you lived in Cuba.
Yes.
Right? Did Cuba have this problem of high homicide rates?
Cuba different than the Bahamas.
No, and just yes or no?
No.
What made the difference? Was it the government? Did the government make the difference?
It's a communist government. Who has shown you that they're not afraid to take your life?
Was it the government policy that made the difference? Was the law the law?
The law is the law.
Okay.
But you can't compare a communist country to a progressively democratic space.
Communism, and this has nothing to do with law. Whether it's a communist law or a democratic...
But we're not having a conversation about law. What we're having a conversation is about enforcement.
Exactly. You know, those people who... I heard a couple of months ago, some people, Bahamians, who were caught up in the prison in Cuba, they want the government to bring them home. And Fred Mitchell say, no. You all know how them Cubans go. You can stay your hip right there and you go rot in jail. Because, see, those people don't play with...
I don't think Fred Mitchell say that.
We plan in this country. You said, murder is up in other places as well. What are those countries doing? Are they doing nothing, Howard? They are passing legislation. I told you that a little country like Grenada, when the homicide rate went up, they said, listen, we're not giving you no more 6 months and no more fine. We're giving you 25 to 30 years. What are we doing, Howard? What are we doing?
But guns. That is not a deterrent.
We're trying to, you know, we are doing nothing. We are sitting down doing nothing every single day. This Minister of National whatever he is, he is doing nothing. The government.
But you keep trying to fire. Listen, this is not me advocating for you. This is not me advocating for Wayne Monroe. Okay.
I'm not talking about Wayne Monroe.
You can't. It don't matter who you fire from this position. All of them serve at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. Their responsibility is to speak with one tongue, one language, one mindset. When they come out of there, they serve at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. In the words of Jerome Fitzgerald, what you want me to lose my job, eh?
Yeah, but I want you to do your job what you paid for. Lastly.
They doing their job.
But they're doing it badly. The government said that they passed an anti-gang law, right? The police said they know who these gangs are. They say these killings are gang-related. Why aren't they arresting people in the gang?
You have to understand something. And I got to let you go. It's 2 o'clock. I appreciate you, my brother. You have to understand that we don't... Okay, so as we have sovereignty, we still have relationship. And we cannot go against human rights. We have to do things in decency and in order. That's why you create legislation. That's why you afford them opportunities before the courts. That's why in the United States of America, you read your Miranda rights. That's why you have these particular things that every man should be afforded an equal and fair opportunity to a trial for with transparency. You can't fight everybody. And based upon perception, my God, all the young people would go to jail. As far as we can hear now, this one was known to the police. But how do you know these people? We still have to deal with accountability. We still have to deal with transparency. But first and foremost, we got to deal with conviction. These men and women got to know what we stand for and stand behind that. Everybody just trying to be able to build in for themselves and give you the impression of legacy that we're doing something great. And remember me. You remember the song? Remember. That's what you're trying to do. But beyond this kind of remember me idea, you have to stand for something today. Let's be decent. Guys, I want you guys to have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy yourselves. I know what y'all are doing this weekend. I don't know what my wife have set up for me. But enjoy yourselves this weekend, guys. Be safe out there. I see two more murders, man. Be safe on the streets. We're going to see you on Monday, Godspeed Life, right here on the foundation. Have a beautiful day. And I'm going to see you on Monday, Godspeed. See you guys later.
Make them feel like dancing. Rocha man, I me see you block out the microphone. Chanting, bim. Chanting, bim. Chanting, yeah. You block out the microphone. Chanting, bim. Chanting till the morning. I me see you ticks in the party. Dancing, 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 yeah. I me see you ticks in the party. Dancing, dancing till the morning. Brought me girlfriend out the gate side, waiting, bim, waiting, bim, waiting. Yeah. Me girlfriend out the gate side.
This waiting. Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.